We both got TU?
Yeah, we got both got TU.
This could be it.
This is money time right here. Money time.
WAP.
Ooh! We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official.
Review.
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 Welcome back, everybody. It is another episode of the Upon Official Review podcast. I am Al, back from a week's hiatus. Glad to be back with everyone. Hope everyone's had a great week. I know you missed me, but I'm back. Don't worry, I'm back.
And, he is back.
Here, as always, with my main man, Ari.
What's up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review podcast, back again. It is Philadelphia's number one podcast. You know what? Even if we're not numbers-wise, I'm saying that we are until somebody challenges us. So
we are the most awesome.
It's true.
That's the bottom line.
It's true. You know what? It can't be statistically measured. We just are.
Our awesomeness, it's impossible to measure that.
Exactly.
There's no
scale for that.
Scale. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. The scale has not been made. The technology doesn't exist.
It does not exist yet.
Our awesomeness.
Exactly. Go to the future. Find out. They might. I doubt it.
Probably not.
I doubt it. So welcome back, Murdoch. It's good to have you, man. Last week was fun, but you know, it's not the same. It's still not.
It was a busy week. I definitely missed out on the show, but it's good to be back, definitely. And you know, it's kind of like it's a little bit of a slow sports week. There's the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, the big thing we're going to start out on, but there's not too much else. Once baseball starts and the playoffs for basketball and hockey both start, that's when really the sports season really starts to take off. So we're getting close. So opening day, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 22nd. We are officially 10 days away, my friend, from opening day. And really only 9.5 days, because the 1 o'clock game. So,
and we are, what, 1 day in the spring, right? Or 2 days in the spring?
Two days. Actually, spring was the 20th this year. Yeah, so, Sunday was
spring
the first day of spring. Yep. And so things are looking good. And so let's get into it. NCAA tournament.
Sounds good.
How's your bracket doing, sir?
My bracket is looking kind of beat up.
Yeah.
Well, at least in one region. My Southeast is probably similar to most people's. My Southeast region has a black eye and a bloody lip. And he's walking with a limp, and basically, I got one team left in it, and that's it. Florida is the only squad I got left, and I only got to win one more game. So
yeah, I got my Southeast also is my worst bracket, but I have BYU in the Final Four, so I actually have all four Final Four teams still alive.
Still alive, nicely done.
Ohio, thank you. Ohio State, Kansas, BYU, and Connecticut, and actually, I'm actually pretty proud of this. My West bracket is perfect through two rounds, which I'm pretty sure I've never done that before. Through
Very
two
impressive.
Rounds. And I'm hoping to get a perfect bracket at least. You know,
what do you got coming out of there?
Connecticut over Duke to get in the Final Four. So I got Duke beating Arizona and Connecticut beating San Diego State, and then Connecticut beating Duke. So
that'd be nice to see. I mean, I have Duke in my Final Four. I didn't want to put them there, but when I heard that Kyrie Irving was coming back from injury, I was like, well,
Duke is definitely good.
Yeah, Duke is really good.
And
I still hate them, but they're really good.
Right. I mean, you don't like them, but you got to admit that they're good. And this is all about, you know, trying to win this stinking thing.
Exactly.
It's like you got to put aside your hatred, you know. I mean, it's not like
exactly.
If the Cowboys were in this bracket, somehow cross sport, I would pick against them in the first round.
You better believe it. If they're playing a 16 seed.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Duke, I do not hate anywhere near as much as the Cowboys. So you
got to
pick them when you think they can do it. So it was an entertaining first weekend. But honestly, I was pretty disappointed. I know every year what I say is, wow, the NCAA tournament, it always delivers. The first round is my favorite. The first weekend is my favorite.
Right.
But the first 2 days are always the best usually. But this year there wasn't really any true buzzer beaters. I mean, and when I say buzzer beater, I mean like
you mean the horn is going off
when the ball's in the air and the one team is actually losing,
right?
And
they're
goes
behind.
That winning, like that's the ultimate. It's like Temple in the first round, there was 0.4 left, but it was tied.
Right.
Butler also in the first round
Morehead
scored
State.
With like second left, but it was tied. There was not one game all weekend where the team was down one or two and hit a shot at the end to win. So it was a little disappointing, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Definitely hoping for some buzzer beaters this coming weekend starting Thursday here. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I thought, very good games, some upsets and everything else, but there just wasn't that last-second drama that we see every year. It was just a little light on that to me. So
yeah, yeah.
It was definitely not the best opening weekend of a tournament that we've ever seen, but it was still awesome, and I still watched like 87 hours of basketball. And
yeah, same here. Same here, man. Yeah, I always enjoy the tournament, man. It's always fun to see, you know, it's always great because so many of these schools have, you know, non-athletes and non-ball players that are just,
oh yeah,
they're just, you know, they're not playing with
the white guys playing, yeah. Basically. Let's be honest.
Right. But
there's a lot of white guys that are in there.
But there's just some guys that are playing on true just grit. You know what I mean? They're just playing with heart. These guys,
they love the game, man. They ain't getting paid, and they know that they're never going to get paid playing it.
Exactly. And they know that, you know, they might not have even been to the tournament ever before in their college careers. So they got to put it all out there, you know?
It's pure athletics. It's not for money. It's just for the love of the game and for the love of victory.
Exactly. School spirit. You know, because they got all the, you know, their cheering section is there from their, you know, from their school, and they're loud and they're screaming their heads off. It is. It's pure sport. It's, you know, it's exciting to watch. You know, plus a lot of those young coaches, those guys are like on the biggest stage of their careers. They're going nuts.
Absolutely.
They're screaming their refs. You know, it's always entertaining to watch, man. The Butler Pittsburgh game.
That was awesome. We were together watching that. Yeah,
crazy. How do you make those plays?
I saw the dumbest play ever by Butler fouling the guy at half court, only to be topped by play five times dumber. It was like the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And then someone else just said, oh, yeah? Okay, I see that, and watch what I'm about to raise you. It was unbelievable. It was like, oh, I can top you, son. You know, and he did. It was just unbelievable. And people complained about the referees. Like, no. Here's the thing. The first one you had to call because the other guy could have got a shot, maybe dribble one more time and got a shot off.
Yep.
And once you called the first one, then you've already set a precedence. I'm going to call kind of a ticky-tacky kind of a foul. The first one was – you bumped them a little bit. It wasn't even a lot. Mm-hmm. And after you call that, you got to call the blatant, like, hardcore
slack
on the rebound.
Yeah,
you got to call that. The official's job is to call fouls. Nowhere does it say don't call a foul if it doesn't affect – the game with 2 seconds left. You know, people say, oh, you have to let the players decide. Guess what? The moron on Pittsburgh decided that game. That's the player deciding it by doing something stupid. If the player had the ball and just threw it out of bounds, that's him doing something stupid that's going to cost him the game. Or if he throws in his own basket when he's down, when he's up one at the end of the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just doing something dumb deciding the game. The ref did not decide the game. He didn't ask him, please hack this guy for no reason at all and no tangible benefit, but he did it. And let's not forget, that guy, you know, attempted a 92-foot hook shot from underneath the basket.
Yeah.
So really, he should have had three shots.
It's true.
He was fouled in the act of shooting.
Uh-huh.
But let's not get it twisted. That's what actually happened. So.
It's true. Yep. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how they let themselves go out like that.
That was just totally Pittsburgh's fault. Can't blame the referee. He absolutely should have made that call. If you didn't call either, that's one thing. But once you made the first call, you can't make like a call at the end for one team that could have given him the win and not do the same for the other team.
Yep.
Both teams had a stupid call. It's like, come on. The players completely decided that. If you have retarded players on your team, then you don't deserve to win. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act. Feel bad for Pittsburgh. That guy was an idiot, and he cost his team the win, and it was him deciding it. So,
That's what happens. I got a chance to watch. For those of you who are somehow living under a rock and haven't watched Kemba Walker play,
he's
great. Yeah, you got to catch the tournament. Got to catch Connecticut. The dude is almost unguardable in college basketball. I mean, he'll be brought back down to earth when he gets to the NBA, but in college basketball, dude is just killing anybody who tries to guard him.
Absolutely. That's why I have them losing to Kansas in the final game, because guards often can dominate in the NCAA tournament.
It's true. They do.
I mean, not to say they're a shoo-in to beat Duke, they're a shoo-in to beat San Diego State, and a shoo-in to beat Ohio State. Uh-huh. I mean, obviously, They might be favored against San Diego State, but they would be underdogs for sure against Duke. And Ohio State just looks awesome, but
yeah,
you know, you never know. A player like that can carry you, so we'll see.
That's what my thought was when I picked Kansas State to be in the Final Four, because Jacob Pullen does the same thing. He puts a team on his back, and he had 38 points in the game they lost to Wisconsin.
His team had like 27.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
His team did nothing to help him out. Exactly. Yeah, the final score was like, yeah, they had like
65 points, I'm pretty sure, because I remember it was like 38 and 27. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I was thinking was going to happen, but oh well.
You gotta
watch Jimmer Fredette.
The Jimmer. Is his name actually Jimmer, or is it Jimmy? And is that just his nickname?
I don't know, actually.
Because my dad was like, "What's the deal with this guy named Jimmer?" And I'm like, "Well, that's his nickname, right?" And then he was like, "Oh, I don't think so." And I'm like,
"That's not his actual name. I just looked it up right now. His name is James."
I was gonna say, who would name their son Jimmer? And then I started picturing people that would, and they all live in West Virginia. So I'm like, maybe he's from West Virginia. Who knows?
His mom started calling him Jimmer. I don't know why you keep a nickname your mom starts calling you as a little kid.
Well, I don't know. It's a unique nickname. I don't have any problem with the nickname. As long as that's not his actual name, that's fine.
Yeah. Do you think
he's awesome, dude. Yeah, he'll just come down and shoot from like half court with a hand in his face.
Yeah.
That release is so fast. People are saying he can't make it in the pros. Like, I don't think so. If you have that kind of a quick release and you can shoot from the three like that,
exactly,
I can't make it in the pros.
You got to guard a guy from 27 feet away. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. And like, he's on the dribble, and then like 0.2 seconds later, the ball is nothing but net every time.
Uh-huh.
From like way outside of pro range threes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you're way outside. So what is this, a buzzer beater? Why are you shooting it from way up there? Like,
you know what it is? Honestly, it's like in basketball, there's reverse racism. And I'm white, and I'll be the first to admit it. Like, white guys are not nearly as good as black guys at basketball. It's like overwhelmingly obvious. But because he's white, people say he's not going to make it. If he was, you know, the exact same skill set, same speed, same everything, and he wasn't white, they'd be like, oh, he's going to be a top 10 pick, no problem. You know what I mean? But, like, then there's, you know, there's always Adam Morrison, stiff. You know, like, a ton of white players that just stunk. But I really think this guy is going to be a solid – yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say he's going to be a superstar, but he's going to be a good, really good player, I think.
I agree. I think he's going to be a good pro. I think it'll be at least as good as, you know, J.J. Redick, if anything.
Better than J.J. Redick, I think.
Think he'll be better? Well, here's the thing. He's got to play point guard, which means he has to guard point guards. J.J. Redick can get away with guarding, like, small forwards who aren't as quick. You know what I mean?
How tall is
because Fredette's only 6'1".
See, I thought he was, like, 6'4".
Yeah.
Well, that makes a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference.
But he will have a, you know, he'll have a long career in the league, I think, just based on, you know, guys that can shoot threes.
Exactly, based on his ability to shoot. Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
and he might not be as quick as the guys he's guarding, though. That's true.
Yep. Yep, but you know, Steve Kerr had a really long career. Mark Price had a long career.
Right. Look at Nash. I mean, he's not going to be as good as Steve Nash, but you know, I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
So, and he's fun to watch. So I'm definitely kind of rooting for BYU, even if like I have him in the Final Four in one of my brackets. But I don't even care if I didn't have him; I'd still be rooting for them.
I like the Jimmer. I agree, man. I agree with you on that. Other than that, I'm trying to think of any other players I've enjoyed watching. Outside of players, the fact that Richmond and VCU are still like kicking butt is kind of crazy. Nobody expected them to win. Richmond's a 12, VCU's an 11, right? And that's right, Marquette pulled that upset.
But Big East school too, so it's not exactly the same as VCU, certainly. But yeah, 10, 11. I mean, Kansas, if they don't make the Final Four, because Florida State too, and they're all in the same bracket.
Yeah, that's right.
They have to beat Richmond. And then the winner of VCU Florida State. So the 10, the 11, and the 12 seed are left against the ones. So there's no excuse for them not to make the final.
That is true. Yeah, Kansas has no excuse. That is absolutely true.
And the funny thing is that the second round team will be the hardest team they have to play up until the Final Four.
That's true. Absurd.
Illinois was, you know, decent squad as a 9 seed.
Yeah, exactly. So,
And, you know, nice Big Ten was a good conference this year.
Yep.
Also. You know, other thing I want to say about the tournament is, to me, like, I mean, I love, like, there's different things I love about all my favorite sports. Football, I love how big every game is and how great every weekend is.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, I love how there's something to look forward to every night for the whole summer. It's like if you're bored and you're thinking like, oh, I want to get home from work, but I don't have anything. Oh, wait, there's a baseball game on tonight, as always. You know what I mean? Like something to always kind of look forward to, enjoy. I love that about baseball. Hockey, I love how exciting playoffs are, and especially playoff overtime where you just – edge of your seat, live or die, you know, especially if you get lucky enough to get like a game seven overtime or even a triple overtime, quadruple overtime, quintuple overtime. We all remember 2001, 5 hours and 22 minutes or whatever it was. But I mean, my favorite sport is probably football just because of how awesome every game is. Close second is baseball. But there's nothing more exciting than the hockey playoffs with your team in it.
Right.
It's more exciting than the football playoffs. Football playoffs are just as kind of almost just pretty much as good as the regular season. It's not that much better, and almost not even maybe better because there's less games on. It's it's about the same. But then March Madness is the best tournament.
Yes.
Because hockey, I'm not watching Vancouver, Calgary. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching the Flyers, absolutely. And that's more exciting than any one particular tournament game. But all the tournament games are so great. So it's like my favorite playoffs. Hockey's, for my own team, my favorite playoffs. Football's my favorite sport. Baseball, I love how long it is and every day. It's just like different things, but nothing beats March Madness.
Agreed. I'm with you.
It's great every year, even though I wish there was some more buzzer beaters last weekend, but that's kind of my story.
Yep, I'm with you on that, dude. I love the tournament.
It's the best tournament in sports.
I love it. It is. Yep. It absolutely is. I wish other sports did stuff like it. But, you know, I guess it just works for college basketball. So, it is what it is.
It would work for college football, too, if they made a playoff, by the way. But
yeah, exactly. That would be great.
It wouldn't be as good, but it would be, like, right.
Yeah, exactly.
It would put college football to, like, almost as good as
– Oh, yeah, man. I agree. I wish college football had playoffs, some kind of playoffs. That would be awesome. Yeah. All right, before we take a break, let's talk a little bit of Phillies.
Okay.
Because the Phillies starting lineup keeps getting dinged up, and it's not looking good for Chase – to start the season at this point. So here's a question. Do you think, because I have my own doubts, honestly, do you think the Phillies can play small ball all season if they're forced, you know, with more injuries and such? Or are they going to have to be one of those teams that just carries the big bag and carries the lumber? Because personally, I don't even think Manuel can coach small ball. What do you think?
Like, can they? Like, are you asking – Can I mean, you say can they? Yes, they can. Will they? Totally different question.
Yeah,
I mean,
will they?
Can he coach small ball? Yeah, he can. Does he want to? No, he definitely doesn't want
to. Definitely doesn't want to.
So I don't know. I don't know what Manuel's thinking. He might realize this is what I would suspect. He's going to kind of go into the season same old way. But 3 weeks, a month into it, if we're scoring two runs every game, he'll adjust. I think, I hope certainly, because he'll have to. The bigger question to me is, will Jimmy Rollins get over himself and play like a leadoff hitter if we need him to manufacture runs, draw some walks, get on base however different way he can rather than swing for the fences?
But is he even penciled in as the leadoff hitter at this point?
Well, he is, and you know how I don't want to do anything but leadoff. He annoys me because you're getting $12 million. Do what's best for the team.
Absolutely.
You know, honestly, I feel like it would be better for Victorino to lead off and Rollins to hit third.
Uh-huh.
And Ibanez to hit fifth. That's like the perfect lineup without Utley.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because Victorino hit third. And if Ibanez hits third, Victorino's not a five-hole hitter. But if you have Rollins hitting third, you can get away with that. And then he can swing for the fences a little more, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really like his style of play is more of a middle. He wants to play in the leadoff spot, but he wants to act like he's in the middle of the order. It's like, dude.
Right, yeah.
Like, that really makes me mad because it's like either be a leadoff hitter and hit leadoff or don't be such a dick about demanding to hit leadoff and be in the middle of the order and then try to hit home runs. Like, don't. He just wants everything his way, and it's just like, you know, you were, an MVP 4 years ago, but you kind of sucked the last 3 years, so right now, if what we need for you is this or that, then you better do it, because you're making a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with Rollins, but I think he needs to get over himself a little bit and do what's best for the team, which he won't do. He's already, I mean, he demands to be a leadoff hitter, and he is who he is basically what he's saying. Uh-huh. So that annoys me. And if he has a similar 240, 250 year again with like a 300 on base percentage, I don't want to re-sign him, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's my next question.
This is a contract year, right?
Yes.
So spend you let him walk else. If he has another similar season.
Absolutely let him walk. If he does this, unless he kind of bats 280, 290, you know what I mean, and really has a great year. But, you know, it's just – if he was willing to move around in the lineup, or he actually acted like a leadoff hitter by trying to get on base and drawing walks,
uh-huh.
I'd say fine. I can live with him batting 240 if he's on. Because your leadoff hitter, it's like the average almost doesn't matter. It's on base percentage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Because a walk's just as good as a single, not just as good because you don't go first to third on a walk and second to home. But
right. Mm-hmm.
For all intents and purposes, it's pretty close.
For a leadoff hitter, it is absolutely.
I mean, you know. When they're leading off the inning, it's definitely.
Yeah, when he's leading off the inning, exactly. That's what I mean, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little annoyed about that because I think if he didn't have an ego, or, you know, everybody has an ego. I'm not even just going to single him out about that. But if he wasn't so stubborn, I feel like, you know, don't you think it would be better to have Rollins bat third and Ibanez bat fifth without Utley?
No doubt about it.
Victorino is just as good of a lead. And he's. Victorino's the same kind of way, swinging for the fences.
Yeah, he does that a little too often.
He just doesn't have the same power around us, so he couldn't hit third.
No.
I think that's another key, depending on where Victorino hits. If he's going to hit second or something like that, maybe Polanco hits third, I don't know. He needs to not swing for the fences, check his ego out the door also. Both Victorino rounds to me are too similar that way, and they both need to go the other way.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Because
they both could. I mean, they both have good fundamentals. They could be contact hitters and
could
hit.
Be absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and take pitches and stops. I mean, especially. I mean, Rollins can hit. I mean, he's hit 30 before. Victorino's hit 18 once was last year. Like, he's not a home run hitter, Victorino. He's just not. He needs to just get on base and because when Victorino and Rollins get on base, it's like a double or a triple because they can steal second, they can steal third.
Yep.
So. That's frustrating, and you know it's probably going to be the same way this year. But it depends. If I think starting out they're going to just go the same old way, and we'll see what happens. You know what I mean? Give it the first month just to see how the offense is. If they're just absolutely struggling, not hitting any home runs or whatever, not scoring runs, they're going to have to switch it up at least till Utley gets back and start going small ball. But I don't think you need to start that way.
Yep.
So.
Sounds good to me, sir. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back with what's making Murdoch mad and talk a little more sports as always. All right, gang.
Yes, sir.
We will be back. This is Upon Official Review.
The last word in Philly sports. That's stay tuned.
Let's stay. What's up, gang? We are back, the Upon Official Review podcast, in your face, breaking your space, invading
breaking
your space.
That's right. I don't know what that means, but that's what we just did to you and your space.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh.
Exactly. Invading your space, breaking it, shaking it, quaking it, you know, all that good stuff. So it is, once again, time for my favorite segment of the show. We hit you with it every week. So get ready for this week's edition of What's Making Murdoch Mad.
The one, the only.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, Murdoch. This week, what's on your mind? Tell the people, the peoples, what is making you mad?
All right, peoples. What's making me mad this week? I'll tell you what's making me mad. The stinking Gonzaga Bulldogs. Are they Bulldogs?
The Bulldogs, yes.
Yeah, they are Bulldogs. Okay.
I think their uniform says the Zags, but I'm pretty sure they're the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think so too. But they're making me mad. I'll tell you why. Because ever since like the first 2 years when they made those deep runs, every year I pick them, they lose in the first round no matter what. No matter if they're a 10 seed, 11 seed, 12 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, it doesn't matter. Every time I pick against them, they win. It's like unbelievable. I can never win with these guys. I hate them. They have officially moved into Duke territory because Duke I hate no matter what anyway, but I also hate Duke because if I pick them, they lose, and if I don't pick them, they win. I never win with Duke. I never win with Gonzaga. Those are the two teams that no matter what I pick, I'm wrong. It just every year. It's unbelievable.
Like clockwork, think, huh?
In 10 years, I'd get lucky one time with Gonzaga. Nope. They have every time I pick them to lose in the first round, they win at least a game. Every time I pick them to win even one game, they lose in the first round. I have never got one win off Gonzaga ever in the history of the tournament. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And this year they go up against St. John's, and everybody's like, oh, St. John's is kind of a sleeper. St. John's is beating all these good teams, and Gonzaga wins. And then they get smoked by BYU. They get absolutely blown out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So screw you, Gonzaga. Yeah. I've had enough.
You guys, you know.
I wish you just wouldn't make the tournament because it's just an automatic loss for me, and it pisses me off.
It really does. It makes me mad, too. They do the same thing to me, man. I don't get it. Whatever. Forget you guys. All right, so I don't know if you heard the story yet, but it came out this week that they're actually kind of doing like a bracket sort of situation. EA Sports, people who make the Madden video games, are trying to decide who they're going to put on a new cover of Madden, which kind of is funny because what if we don't have a season? Are you just going to put a picture of like a bunch of players behind bars for the lockout, or like are they all going to be picture? You know, maybe there'll be players, you know, playing golf, or maybe the players will be playing video games. Kind of be like,
well, they're still
going to
sell the games though, so they don't care.
That's true. But question is, Michael Vick is in this bracket. Mm-hmm. Some people are angry about Michael Vick being on it, but beyond that,
it's just stupid.
Would you want Michael Vick on the cover of Madden, or would you think, I don't want that because the Madden curse?
I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in the SI cover jinx. I just don't believe in curses. Like what is some demon curse?
Dude,
like
what about the curse of the goat?
The curse, like, no, the goat did not have any magic powers. It's just some things happen.
Dude, the Cubs
if you
have
play, not there's. There's 5 billion different sports and a million teams. Some of them are going to lose for 100 straight years. You know what I mean? It's just going to happen. Some of them are going to win a lot, like the Yankees. That's just, you know, if they played for a million years, the Cubs would win their share, one out of every 30. But they're just in a long losing streak. I don't believe in curses at all.
All right. Let me hit you with this before you go on. Eddie George appeared on 2001 cover. Titans lost in the playoffs that year. After that year, Eddie George never averaged more than 3.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, but I don't believe in curses.
All right, Dante Culpepper.
After
Madden curse, 23 receptions.
You can give me so many different stats, I'm never going to believe in curses.
Donovan McNabb tore his ACL.
Yeah, but Donovan McNabb got hurt like 5 years in a row. Like, of course he tore his ACL. He always got hurt.
But that was the year where Michael Vick in
2004
broke his
always
get... season.
No, but see, the thing is, football players are super prone to injury because of the sport. So the players on the cover are going to be prone to injury because they play football, not because they're cursed.
All right.
You mean you got to admit
like
that makes
that,
sense.
I like to use those stats because they're those, you know.
Yeah, but I don't believe in that crap, and I don't think you do either. You can say all you want, but I don't think you believe in them.
I don't want my player on the cover. I'll tell you that right now. I don't believe in curses, but I don't want anybody that.
But you do believe in curses. If you don't believe in curses, then you wouldn't care if he's on the cover.
I also, you know what? I don't like seeing our team on SI either. I really don't.
Whatever. I'm not superstitious at all, dude. I'll step on the baseline in tennis. The
step
foul
on a crack, your mom's back is never broken, you're saying?
Yeah, dude, I don't really care.
Gotcha. All right, sir. Well, me, I say I don't want anything to do
but
with
it. But hey, I mean, if that's what you believe or someone else, that's fine. I just personally don't. So, it's cool.
All right, on to the next subject. Barry Bonds is on trial this week for his whole involvement in, the perjury and saying he thought he was using, you know, Nestle Quick, and it turns out it was steroids. You know,
what a surprise!
Exactly. What? I don't understand. How are you twice your size with a giant forehead? Yeah. So here's a question for you. We don't have to get too involved into it because we could honestly wrap a whole show around it. But what do you think? Just
wrap your face around it.
Oh, what? What?
That's right. You heard me.
Right now.
I think you heard me just fine. All right. What's the question?
Seriously though, what? There, you know, the '90s and 2000s. Mm-hmm. You know, have kind of collectively been known as the steroid era. Exactly. What do you think we should do with all of these Hall of Fame caliber players, these guys who have these amazing numbers, but whose numbers are tainted? Like, they're probably on steroids, 95% right. of them. What do you think we're doing? Do you think they should be in the Hall of Fame at all? Do you think...
Here's the problem is... not the ones linked to steroids. No, I don't think Clemens. I don't think Bonds. You know, I don't think McGuire.
Yep.
And you're seeing that on the votes. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is people that use steroids are going to get away with
A-Rod?
It. And you know what I mean? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do not believe A-Rod should make the Hall of Fame. You know, it's just they cheated. Is that worthy of fame?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not worthy of fame to me.
Right.
You know, A-Rod and Bonds and Clemens would have been Hall of Famers without it. Sure, they would have. But you know what?
Would've.
They did do it. So too bad. You know what I mean? That's the price you paid. And honestly, like, I'm not going to get up on my high horse and say I wouldn't have done it. Are you kidding me? Like, think about a player like that would have been a career minor leaguer that ended up making – like, Giambi made $120 million doing it.
Yeah.
He would have been making – he would have made $10 million in his career. You don't think
his entire career, because his brother was in the league too, and his brother was average.
Yeah. You don't think he's happy he made an extra $140 million using steroids? Sure he is. Do it again. I mean, I would, if someone told me right now, if you use steroids, I'll give you $150 million. You know what I mean? Like, okay, no problem. I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like,
where do I sign?
No, that's bad. Yeah, exactly. Show me where to sign. No problem. You know what I mean? Like, you know. Like, you're not going to go to jail either if you do it. It's like, well, you know, I would even – you give me $150 million, I'll go to jail for a year if I had to. You know what I mean? I wouldn't hurt anyone else or anything like that. Like, it's not – I wouldn't just do anything for $150 million, but steroids, like, you know, sure. Especially, like, ones that aren't really, like – I mean, like, HGH, is that even bad for you? Like, they don't even – like, they don't even think it's bad
I think if you regulate it, I don't think, you know
– no, it's actually, like, kind of good for you. Like, so
– actually – but Funny story. When me and you went to Miami years ago, just, you know, I remember seeing ads in, like, the local, like, because Miami's really, you know, image conscious. I remember seeing ads for HGH, like, in the paper. So you could, like, you could get it. So
it
can't be, you know.
Yeah, any illegal thing. There were ads for just about any illegal thing you wanted in, like, CD Miami papers, I remember.
That's
true. Like, drugs, hookers, steroids, whatever you want. But yeah, I mean, but baseball, the thing about baseball is it's all about the numbers.
Numbers, yep.
That's the problem with it. So that's why I say, no, they shouldn't go to the Hall of Fame. And like I said, some people are going to probably get in that didn't deserve to because we didn't find out about them. But to me, I just wouldn't put them in. It's a shame. I don't know what you do with the actual record books. You know, if they ever prove Bonds did it, like, you can't take the record away from him because you think he probably did it. But if they ever prove, like, in a court or whatever that he did it, like, if he gets guilty of whatever this lawsuit is against him, the government's trying to bust him on perjury and all that, then I take the record away from him. Or else maybe I put, like, at least an asterisk and say the guy – no, I would take it away from him. I strike it from the record.
Right.
I strike McGuire from the record. Sosa gone from the record.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, it should still be – Aaron, Ruth, Mays. That's what it should be.
Yep.
The only members of the six. Oh, I guess Junior Griffey, too, would be the four 600 club home runs members. And, you know, guys like that, you know, he didn't look like you took him, but who knows? You never know. You know what I mean? So it's a shame.
What about guys who won, you know, individual awards for certain years, like, you know, MVPs for that year? Do you whack it and give it to the runner-up?
There's no need to go back and do all that.
Gotcha.
Because if I was second that year, I wouldn't be happy 10 years later they gave it to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
it's not going to help me in my next contract since I'm retired at this point. You know what I mean? Or at least old. So who cares? I don't think I need to go and do all that. But
my favorite steroid story is Brady Anderson. Remember that?
And yeah, man. And remember Luis Gonzalez hit 57 home runs one year too?
Yep.
Same thing as Brady Anderson. It's crazy.
And it was funny too because both of those players never had power numbers. I think Brady Anderson hit like 18 or 21.
Yeah, same with Gonzalez, who was a really good player and hit for high average and did everything like that. Yeah. But come on, 57 home runs in 2001, the year they beat the Yankees. 57? Are you kidding right now? 57? Come on. Police.
Yeah, but I agree, man. It's like it's a catch 22. The other thing too that's kind of, I don't know if you caught that the guy who did the baseball documentary, Ken Burns, did a follow-up this past year, and it kind of talked about the steroid era, and it talked about how, like, they kind of, Bud Selig and Major League Baseball used that Sosa and Maguire magic season to kind of put everybody's interest back in baseball, you know what I mean? But they knew these guys were juiced, and they knew
They absolutely knew it. They absolutely, because everyone stopped caring about baseball after the strike.
Exactly, yep.
It killed the ratings and the viewership and the interest.
It sure did.
And that's what brought us all back.
Exactly.
But you know what? You can't – let's be honest here. We can't just sit there and call out – I mean, we can call out Selig because I think he's awful. But we knew they were on steroids too, and we looked the other way at the time also.
Yep.
The public knew it. The public knew Canseco took steroids to do that 40-40 year when he never had more than like 18 steals or something like that before then. And we knew that it was there. And we were like, this is so fun and cool to watch this home run chase. We didn't even care. So everybody looked the other way. It wasn't just the commissioner. Like, people kind of conveniently forget that. But we knew.
Well, there were some journalists that tried to call him on it, and they all kind of were like, everybody was like, don't talk about it.
Yeah, and everyone – but that was everybody. Nobody wanted to talk about it because it was fun to watch, but including me, including you, including – there were some, but most people ignored it. So it wasn't just the commissioner. And so, like I said, I'm not going to get totally on my high horse. While I do think that, they shouldn't make the Hall of Fame and stuff like that, I would have done it. I'm going to tell you right now, for that kind of money, I would have absolutely done it. Mm-hmm. I would have. I mean, let's 100 million bucks? You kidding me? As opposed to 2 million or a couple hundred thousand? Yeah. Hell yeah. Of course I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. What person would, let's face it.
Yeah, it's true.
If you took any random person off the street and said, if
knowing
you do something
that your baseball career is limited, you know what I mean? It's not like,
Absolutely. Barry Bonds was already going to make the money. So he didn't really gain anything out of it except for the record. So that's a little worse to me because I feel like if I was I don't know what I would have felt like, but then what does he feel like when he's McGuire, who he's not as good as him, break this record, and he knows, well, he's cheating. If I cheated, I could break the record. So I could see that too. Mm-hmm. I might feel that way also. Who knows? But like I said, I can totally understand why they did it. I would have done it everyone was doing it. It was just part of the culture of baseball. So, but to me, the records, I still recognize 755, bottom line.
Yep.
And A-Rod can break it all he wants. I still recognize 755.
That's you on that.
That's about it.
Yep. So. Sounds good to me, sir. All right. Let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll do Tweet of the Week. We'll do Crossfire. And we'll shout you guys out, as we always do. So you guys, stay tuned. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. You guys, keep it locked.
Yeah, I want to be part of the solution and not the problem. I got to start somewhere. I got to crawl before I walk. Hey! Crawl before I walk. Hey! Crawl before I walk.
Like an eagle. Michael Vick served his time. He paid his debt to society. Now he has either earned or been given another chance. Another chance.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Thanks for sticking around. Hope you're enjoying the show half as much as we are enjoying making the show. It's a blast for us. And We're definitely thankful that you're listening. Thank you very much.
You guys are awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah, we love our fans. So. Our fans are the best ever. Oh, we should also say while we're talking about our awesome fans is April 2nd. It's I just realized this last week. It's the night of the Final Four, which is weird because I haven't missed the Final Four since I was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the first game for one Clifton Pfeiffer Lee.
Clifton Pfeiffer.
2009 World
Welcome
Series.
Welcome back, Clifton.
Yeah, and if you have tickets, obviously, it stinks kind of to miss the Final Four, but that's totally a better thing to be doing. Let's tailgate, people. Come on. Come on out. We're going to be down early. Tweet at us if you're going to be there. We'll exchange phone numbers with anyone that wants to meet up with us. We're going to be down there 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, and we'll definitely be there early. So we definitely want to meet any of our fans, any of our friends, any of our followers. We're just trying to hang out with as many people as possible and just enjoy
games,
sports, the return of Cliff Lee, and we'd love to see you there. So just hit us up, let us know, and we'll be tweeting it also. But if you're listening, you have tickets, then let's plan on meeting up. It's gonna be a good time. So
yeah, it's gonna be epic. I mean, honestly, that's a day that you're gonna remember. You know,
yep.
And you don't even have to have tickets. So, you know, like you can go to McFadden's or
Can watch McFadden's, watch the Phillies with one eye and the Final Four with the other eye. So
there you go, there you go. Absolutely, yep. That's probably a good idea. I might even sneak off to not one, but you know, but it's something to think about. So you should definitely come down for that.
Let's hang out. Let's get to know each other. So
yeah, we love to hang out and meet people from Twitter and you know from the following the podcast and everything. So. Make that happen.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Al, I think it is time for the tweet of the week this week, sir.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. All right, gang. Tweet of the week this week. Goes to one of my favorite tweeters, one of my favorite people on Twitter. You can follow him at long_drive. It's obviously a tribute to Harry Callis's and a long drive. Great name. Here's his tweet, and I love
this. All is out of here.
You know what's sad though? The person who has the out of here name on Twitter. He would be cool, but he is a Phillies fan and a Cowboys fan. So
what?
That guy, yeah,
dare you have that
he
name.
Totally got unfollowed. I was like, yeah, come on. And I think his parents like raised him like that, so that's terrible parenting. And that's just, you know what? Just you know, be if you're gonna
terrible
be
terrible across the board. I just
it
got
is.
Sick.
It
in
is.
My stomach. I mean, Kerry Callis just rolled over in his
he
grave.
He roll over his grave. Soul. Absolutely.
May he rest in peace. Somebody's using his moniker. That's a Cowboys fan.
Cowboys
that's
fan.
Sacrilege.
It really is. Dude should be an Astros fan or whatever. If you're gonna follow the Cowboys, don't
no,
follow
dude shouldn't be any sort of a Texas fan at all.
Yeah,
he shouldn't be. Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. I was
you know what I mean. If you're gonna root for Dallas, we don't want you as part of our.
If you're gonna root for Dallas, you should just go to like somewhere else. Don't play as a Philly fan. Either move to Texas or Iraq and be done. Be out of my life.
Yes, I agree. We don't want you around. Anyway, long drive. He tweeted, the Washington Capitals and the Washington Nationals have really long, original, thought-out names.
I never thought about that. Wow, they
it's
really
like,
didn't.
Really? They just mailed it in. We don't care.
That's true.
Nationals. We're in Washington. We're the Nationals. We're in Washington. We're the Capitals. Come on, guys.
At least they're not the Washington District of Columbia's. The Districts of Columbia. We're the Districts.
Exactly.
Well, that would actually be better because it would be mildly amusing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that actually is the tweet of the week. And if you see that tweet, because I only got like 2 or 3 retweets. That's hilarious, people. Get on that. Take care of that. So, props to you, Long Drive. Great tweet. Which actually, team names actually will lead us into my next segment, which is the illegal procedures of the week. So let's get ready.
They called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw. I've been so.
All right, guys. This week, the illegal procedure goes to several teams across the board in pro sports. Because this week, my illegal procedure goes to every team that has a horrible name for their team. Okay? These names are ridiculous, just plain dumb, or they don't make any sense. All right, I'm going to rattle down my list. The Utah Jazz makes zero sense. There is no Jazz in Utah. The Denver Nuggets is terrible. I don't care if it's gold nuggets. Nuggets sounds ridiculous no matter what context you put it in. No one wants to root for a nugget. No one wants to be a nugget. Seattle Seahawks. We talked about this before. What the heck is a Seahawk? Is it intimidating? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. San Diego Padres. What? Why would I want to root for a Spanish father? I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Stupid. Change the name immediately. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Why do you have six different names in your city of your team? Stop it. Leave it the way it was. Just call it the California Angels. So stupid. The Thrashers. What the F is a Thrasher? Is that like a three-year-old who can't contain himself? That's stupid. The Wild. Why would I run for a team called the Wild? That's worse than the Thrashers.
You're getting fired up. This is awesome. We might need a What's Making Mag the Mad segment.
This is fantastic. Wild doesn't make any sense. What's Wild? What exactly is Wild about this team?
What is A-Wild?
What is A-Wild?
A-Wild.
Girls going wild. The team is – I don't understand. Stupid. The Blue Jackets. What is a blue jacket? I've heard of a yellow jacket, but is a blue jacket just keep you warm?
Is that like a leather or blue leather jacket?
Exactly. Exactly. If you own a blue jacket, does that make you automatically have team paraphernalia? The Browns. I understand maybe like the Reds, but the Browns inspires no one. The Browns just makes you think.
No, the Reds are almost – that's just as bad. Just the color. That's just awful.
The color is awful. But the Brown
– but they're both bad.
Yeah, but Brown doesn't do anything.
Let's just pick a random color.
I can't think of anything either. Let's be the oranges.
The purples.
Exactly, the purples. Yeah. It's stupid. Also, the Houston Texans. I guess maybe you can go – come on, guys. I mean, I understand – some of these teams I understand – you name the team like in the early 1900s and you didn't have any better idea. But the Houston Texans, I mean, you just brought this team into the league like 10 years ago. You can think of something more original than that.
Outrageous. And it's like people from Texas are so stinking stuck up about being from Texas and how great it is.
Yeah.
They have their own flag. It's like, enough already. Texas sucks. Dallas is in Texas. We all know the truth. Rednecks, okay? Drunk redneck Cowboy fans. Yeah, what a great state that is. I couldn't wait to go there. Boo!
Absolutely. So those are just, there's actually a few more, but I'll let you guys come up.
That was awesome. I do want to say one thing about one of those. You were absolutely right on. That was my favorite illegal procedure of the week you've ever done. However, there is a reason why the Utah are the Jazz.
I know why. Because they came from New Orleans. But change the name.
Give the name back to New Orleans. Switch names.
Exactly.
The Utah Hornets and the New Orleans Jazz.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Including America.
Exactly. Exactly.
And baby Jesus.
It's true. It's true. Yep. You know what else is dumb is the Washington Wizards. That's
base. Oh.
Oh, what? What?
Washington Wizards is bad.
Yep. Washington Wizards is really bad. The Bullets was, you know, at least intimidating, but I guess it was just too violent. Exactly. Although I'm sure there's other just as violent. I mean, I guess maybe not Rockets. Maybe if they're being fired at you.
I like the Flyers as a team name, by the way.
Flyers is
a great name. Simple name, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Their logo is cool. It doesn't really, it's weird looking and doesn't really mean anything.
The logo is really cool. It looks kind of like a puck.
It's unique.
Like a flying puck.
Yeah, it's awesome. The Flyers, because they fly and skate and everything. That's a cool name. It's like, that's a simple name. It didn't take any thought, you know, but it was cool. It was like better, you know, it could have been the Philadelphia Oranges, you know, like, yay, we're fruit. Or are we a color? You never know.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Also, to be the only thing I remember about the Browns is, this is kind of crude, but my friend, when she used to say she was going to take a number two, she was saying she was taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. Only thing I think about when I think about the Browns is them going to the Super Bowl. You know, gotta use the bathroom.
It's funny that a female friend of yours was
exactly. She was cool like that. She was cool.
Yeah,
shout out to her. All right, man. It's almost
shout
out the show, but let's do some crossfire and then we'll get to
Crossfire. How could I forget?
Let's hit. Right,
so 30 seconds. Let me set my clock.
Yeah, man. I will do the same. It is time for some Crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
All right, sir. It is time for another edition of Crossfire. Let us get into it right now. Number one, sir, what is the best surprise, positive surprise for the Phillies in spring training? Go.
Really, it's been a spring training without much positive anything. I guess the best positive surprise is that the entire team isn't injured. But no, I mean...
No Mayberry Jr.? No Raul?
I'll go with Francisco and Mayberry. Yeah, they've both been playing well. So I guess Mayberry's a bigger surprise because you just didn't even think he had a chance to make the team. So I'll go Mayberry. He's had a nice spring.
Nicely done. And there is your 30 seconds right there. Boom. Mm-hmm. All right.
What do you got for me? What is the best sports movie of the last 20 years? So we're going back to 91. Go.
So I almost went with the garbage picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon starring Tony Danza. And I decided not to. Also, almost went with Major League because Major League is pretty awesome. Caddyshack is going back farther than 20 years.
So. Yeah, that's the best ever.
Yeah,
for sure.
Caddyshack's great. Hoosier's is great. But I'm going to go with a tie. Couldn't decide. I really like Glory Road, which I think came out in like 05 or 06. And I, of course, I love Remember the Titans, which came out in 99.
Okay, time's up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Major League was 89 also. Those are the only two really I like, but Major League and Caddyshack, they're both more than 20 years old. Okay, you're up.
Cool. All right, sir. Number three. I think we talked about this a little bit. You might have a different opinion, though. The best game the first weekend of the March Madness tournament. Go.
I got to go with the Butler. The Butler Pitt game. I almost went with the Temple game that went into double overtime in the second round.
San Diego State.
I forget who they played. San Diego State, yeah.
Yes.
But that was just kind of, I mean, I've seen a million games like that. There was no buzzer beaters anywhere along the way. And the way that game ended with Butler and Pitt, I never saw that before. So I'm going to go with that. That was a great game. I'll remember that one longer than I'll remember the Temple game. So that's my answer.
Good. There you go. 30 seconds. Right on the money. You are on the money today, sir. What you got
for
me?
That's right. Number four. Will Tiger Woods ever get his swagger back?
You know what? This is hard to say. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no until he finds a way to come back and get that balance like he used to. I honestly think he needs to kind of live a rock star lifestyle to get his swagger back. I don't think dating one woman is going to do it for him. I think he needs to get his whole, mentality back before he gets his
So you're
his
saying he needs
back.
To just start hooking up with, like, lots of hookers again.
Exactly, exactly. He needs to go nuts. He needs
sage
something.
Advice.
Yeah, there you go.
time's up. But I think I also agree he's never going to be the same Tiger Woods. He'll still win a couple majors. He'll get close to Jack's 18. But he's not, I don't think, ever going to win two and three every year.
You like the way he was, yeah.
I don't think hookers have anything to do with it, but I know you were just joking about that, of course. But yeah. He's older too. I mean, you know what I mean? He's what, 35 now or something like that? That's just a product of what it is. So
could be.
Also, because when he came out dominated, so many people got into golf then. Now those guys, so many more people actually started playing golf. They're a PGA golfers now, so there's
more
competition.
Kind of like,
not even that. More cops came into the league. When he went into the league, more kids started playing golf. So now,
what
I'm saying? There's more people that are in the league, and there's just more good players. So it's more competition. So
it's true. Right. It's true. All right, man.
You're up for my next question.
Yep. Here you go, sir. 30 seconds on the clock. Do you think the Atlanta Braves have a significant chance, say over 40% chance of actually beating the Phillies this year? 30 seconds.
No chance. No way they have a 40% chance. They have a 15% chance. If everything goes wrong for the Phillies and everything goes right for the Braves, they can win the division. if everything goes wrong and everything goes right, they might have a 40% chance, barely. But, you know, if we get more injuries, they have just as much chance of getting injuries than we do. We're a much better team than them. No way. No, absolutely they are not. They have a shot. They have a prayer, but they don't have a
bang.
Good
time. Time. All right. Good answer, sir.
All right. Number six. The NFL changed the rules today, their yearly rule changes, and one of them was a bit curious. They moved kickoffs from the 30-yard line back to the 35, which, if you remember, was always where it was about 10 years ago and beyond. What do you think about that? Was there any reason? Like, you hate it? Do you not care?
I say boo, boo, boo. Anything that removes contact from the game, I'm not a fan of. I guess they did it to cut back on play injuries, but it means less kickoff returns. It means more touchbacks. Touchbacks are boring. I don't want touchbacks. I don't want to watch, you know, I want to watch dudes get smashed. I want to watch more exciting, you know, runbacks. I want to see, you know, Devin Hester and, you know, all the kickoff return specialists. You know, Dante Hall, he's not in the league anymore, but, you know, all those guys that could return kicks. I like that, man. Boo. I say lame.
All right, time's up. I was reading Crossing Broad today, and his point was, oh, kickoffs are dangerous, so we're just going to cut back on the number of them. We're not going to actually change them to be less dangerous. That'd be like...
And they already changed the wedge rule, too, didn't they?
Every other day instead of every day.
Wait, say that again?
His point was, that's like saying, I'll just drive drunk every other day instead of every day. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, you know, that's a great point. So Kyle Scott, Crossing Broad... I totally agree with him.
That's a good point.
If it's too dangerous, make it less dangerous. Don't just make it less frequent. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Dumb. Whatever.
Dumb. All right.
Wrap up Crossfire. So it's been a great show. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around. Let's get to our
shout-outs. NJ put the house on me. Shout-out to everybody in the hood. Shout-out to everybody smoking that good.
Shout-out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live. I am going to go first.
Hit me.
I want to shout out my friend, she's on Twitter. Christina is her name. XO, Christina XO is her Twitter handle. Twitter.com/XO, Christina XO, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. The reason I'm shouting her out is because she's awesome. She's actually going to go to opening day. She's going to meet us up for the tailgate on April 2nd for our Cliff Lee Day. And she's going by herself to March 29th preseason game against the Pirates. That's how big a fan she is. She's already going to the first two games of the season. She said, that's not enough. I want to go to one of the three games before that they have at Citizens Bank Park. Oh, no one's going to go with me? I'll still go by myself. That's awesome. So
pretty gangster,
yeah. You're getting a golf clap right now, Christina. That's fantastic.
I'll clap as well.
Awesome fan. And we're looking forward to meeting you on April 2nd. So good job.
Going to be good times. Absolutely. Yep. All right, let me throw some more at everybody here. You should definitely follow on Twitter A7XFan483. Not really quite sure why his name is super cryptic, but regardless, definitely follow him. He's real cool. He's a big time gamer and stuff too. So if you're on Xbox, add that dude. You know, play some games. Also, at Tay. It is. It's a cryptic name. I don't know what it stands for. I just know the word fan.
Trying to figure out what it is.
Exactly. Maybe I'm not that nerdy. Maybe it translates to something.
Oh, you're that nerdy.
Maybe I used to be. Like I was saying, at Tay10130. That's Tay10130. I'm dyslexic today. We found each other on Tumblr. Her Tumblr name is escaping me, but she's really cool. Definitely follow her. Also at Darth_Nater, that's N-A-T-E-R. He's always entertaining with his tweets. Speaking of entertaining, if you're not following at Lindros97, something's wrong with you. L-I-N-D-R-O-S, just like Eric Lindros, and the number 97. Dude is highly entertaining, somewhat offensive. Maybe that's the reason you wouldn't want to follow him. He's a little bit, you know, he never censors himself, put it that way. Also, at JMacPhillies, I just started following him recently. He has some funny tweets. I think he talked about something about how, you know, you're going to be able to have an honorary medical degree if you know all of the Philly's injuries as of late. So definitely follow him. And that's going to do it for my shout-outs. You guys, you know, thanks for tuning in. And absolutely tune in next week. Al, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. My Skype did something goofy. I thought I lost you. Anyway.
No. Absolutely.
Well, thanks again, guys, for tuning in. We will talk to you next week. If you like the podcast.
Next week will be almost the opening day.
That's right. Yep. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. Thanks
tell
for listening.
Tell your mom.
Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your dog.
Dog.
Follow us on Facebook, as always, Facebook.com/OfficialReview. Twitter, Official Review. UponOfficialReview.com. We're on
official
all those.
/OfficialReview.
Exactly. Official Review. White House.
Anywhere you want /OfficialReview, you can follow us.
Just type official review. Get a tattoo of it. I don't care. All right,
dude, that would be awesome. If someone gets a tattoo, they can guest spot on our podcast like as much as they want.
That would be awesome. I agree. All right, gang.
It needs to be a girl also. If it's a guy, it would just be weird. It would get off.
True that. All right, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Cliff Lee. What up?
Cliff Lee. What up?
Later.
Easy when you play with a bunch of rejects and a fat kid, Rodriguez.
Shut your mouth, Phillips.
Would you say crap face? I said you shouldn't even be allowed to touch a baseball. Except for Rodriguez, you're all an insult to the game. Come on! We'll take you on right here, right now! Come on! Yeah, right now! We plan a real diamond porter. We ain't good enough to lick the dirt off our cleats. Watch it, jerk. Shut up, idiot. Moron! Scab eater. Butt sniffer. Puss licker. Fart smeller. You eat dog crap for breakfast, geek. You mix your weeds with your mama's toe jam.
Yeah!
You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it. You play ball like a girl. What did you say? You heard me. Tomorrow. Noon. At our field. Get the buffalo butt breath. Count on it, pee drinking crap face.
Yeah!
Let's go! Jerks.